open your Bible to Psalm 31. That's our text for this month, Psalm 31 and verse 19. We're in a series entitled Greater Things. God has greater things for you, Church on the Rock. God has your best days in front of you. God wants your imagination to be stronger than your memory. Did you hear what I just said? Your imagination should be stronger. You should be highly developed in imagining. You should be highly developed in vision, goal, and dream that God has for you. God doesn't want you to live by looking into your rear view mirror. God doesn't want you focusing on the past all the time. God wants you to be focusing on your future. Because in your future, God has greater things prepared for you. Oh, I'm excited about it today. So why are we here today? What are you going to do for us, Pastor? Well, I'm going to equip you. I'm going to help you. I'm going to help you leave here with stronger faith, higher hope, greater expectation. If you came down, you cannot leave down. If you came depressed, you cannot leave depressed. Because if you believe what I'm preaching and teaching from the Word of God, it will change your behavior. Amen. You know that you're really believing if it changes your behavior. That's a powerful nugget, isn't it? You know, I can't come forward at the altar and have someone lay hands on me, anoint me with oil. I need a healing in my body, and they pray for me. And I walk back to my seat, and I say, I hope I got it. I don't feel any better, but maybe I got it. Maybe someday God will heal me. And I walk out, you know, depressed and discouraged and focusing on my sickness. Guess what? I didn't believe what they prayed over me. Because if I believe what I'm hearing, it's going to change my behavior. Faith without corresponding actions is dead. Faith without corresponding actions is dead. So if I'm really a believer, and I know you all are today, right? And if you're not, you will be. And I know if you believe what I'm teaching today, that God has greater things in store for you, then you're going to act like it. I'm going over here. Then you're going to act like it today. You're going to leave with a smile, and you're going to leave with a stir in your step. You're going to leave with a positive attitude. You're going to leave with hope, greater expectation. You're going to be a contagious Christian when you leave here today. Can you give God a good praise right now? Amen. See, however long you've been walking with the Lord, it's been good so far. I know God's been good to you, but I want you to raise your hopes, raise your expectation. I want you to think bigger and believe bigger and expect bigger. I want you to know that God has greater things ahead for you. So let's look at it today in Psalm 31, verse 19. Let's build that thought on the Word of God. Oh, how great. Did y'all notice the word great right there? Oh, how great. Everyone say great things. Great. Oh, how great is your goodness, which you have laid up. Folks, this is the Bible. Do y'all see that? Laid up, like layaway, on reserve, held back in the corner, in a warehouse. In storage. God has good things laid up for you. God has things waiting for you. Now, if I really believe God has better things waiting for me, I'll start working on them today. You and I should be working on what we are waiting for. You and I should be working on what we are waiting for. Do you understand what I mean by that? In other words, you're not going to get out of life what you want. You're not going to get out of life what you want. I'm 63 years old, and I know that by this time, we don't get out of life what we want. You only get out of life, here it is, what you prepare for. You don't get out of life what you want, because we all want this, and we want that, and we want this, and we want that, and we don't get it. You don't get out of life what you want. You get out of life what you are preparing for. So my challenge to you today, Church on the Rock, is this. Question, what are you preparing for? What are you working on today? Pastor, I'm just going to work. It needs to be more than that. Pastor, I'm just going through life. It needs to be much more than that. Pastor, I'm just working for retirement. Well, shamey, shamey, shamey on you. Because there's no retirement in the Bible. You can't find it. And when you do retire, you should refire and serve here at Church on the Rock. Because if you retire and do nothing, you're going to die before your time. And a pastor who loves you, I don't want you to die before your time. You were built for growth. You were built to produce, not to retire. God wants you to refire, not retire. So what are you working on today? Because see, what you're working on, you should be working on what you're waiting for. Abraham Lincoln said it like this: when preparation meets opportunity, it equals success. How many opportunities have we missed in our life? They came and went because we were unprepared for them. You don't get out of life what you want. This is worth coming to church for today. You don't get out of life what you want. You get out of life what you are preparing for. Are you preparing for greater things? Are you preparing for what God has ahead for you in your future? You should be. Pastor, how do we prepare for it? Pastor, you said we should be working on what we're waiting for. Well, Pastor, what should we be working on? Well, how about this? Gratefulness. An attitude of gratitude. Let me show you what I'm talking about. He said, oh, how great is your goodness, great things that you have laid up for those who fear, revere, and worship you. The word there, revere or fear, is not a negative, it's a positive. It means to respect. Everyone say respect. So anyway, you see, we're talking about respect. So those who respect the Lord, you're positioning yourself, you're preparing yourself for greater things. You see, I should be working on what I'm waiting for. I don't get out of life what I want. I get out of life what I'm preparing for. What are you preparing for today? So it's so important that we understand this, that the word there, fear, means to respect the Lord. And the word respect, defined respect, it means to remember. It means to remember the good things someone has done for you. And when you think of the good things they've done for you, it stirs respect for that person. Does that make sense today? This last Friday, a pastor friend of Kim and I, a 77 years old, Assemblies of God pastor, very influential in our life, he passed away. He graduated. He's now in heaven. And you know, when they told us that he passed away, immediately I began to remember good things that he did for me. Defining moments. And you know, as I begin to remember those things, it stirred up a respect, a new and fresh respect for that pastor who had impacted me. I remember one time Kim and I, we came home from college and we were spending a couple days at home, and I went to see him, and we were kind of struggling going through a season in college. And he said to me, he said, Dave, you ever read the book, The Power of Positive Thinking by Norman Vincent Peale? I said, I've never heard of a Norman Vincent Peale. He said to me, you need to go out and get the book, The Power of Positive Thinking. Now, this is an Assemblies of God pastor telling me this in 1976. And he's telling me this. He said, you need to go out and buy this book by Norman Vincent Peale, because he said, in it, Dave, there's an exercise I want you to start doing. I said, what is that? He said, in it, Dr. Peale says that every morning you should recite Philippians 4:13 10 times. And then every evening before you go to bed, you should recite, memorize it and recite it 10 times before you go to bed, Philippians 4:13. Does anybody know what it says? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And he said that you need to do that. In fact, you need to have those as the bookends, bookends, bookends of your day. You need to start your day with the word, and you need to finish the day with the word. Give us this day our daily bread. Are you starting your day with the word? And are you finishing your day with the word? And you know what? It absolutely changed my life. And so I was thinking about him. this week when they said that he'd passed away. And as I began to reflect and remember, I began to gain even more respect for the man. It's the same way with the Lord. How do you and I position ourselves for greater things? It's through an attitude of gratitude. It's thankfulness, right? Those of you who are parents, when your kids are grumbling and complaining, that doesn't motivate you to do more for them, does it? No, it's when they're thankful and appreciative, that motivates you to want to do more for your kids. Likewise with the Lord, our Heavenly Father, when we're thankful for what He has done, it positions us for Him to do more. Well, when we're thankful and we're grateful and we're working on developing a better attitude of gratitude. Everybody say better. You know, if you want your life to get bigger, you got to work on getting better. If you want your life to get bigger, you got to work on getting better. If you want your life, and I think you do, or you wouldn't come to this church. If you want your life to get bigger, then you have to work on getting better. Better in every area of your life will cause you to get bigger in every area of your life. Boy, that was worth coming to church right there for somebody. Amen. So then also he goes on to say that not only that, but what should I be working on for what I'm waiting for? How do I prepare myself? I don't get out of life what I want. I get out of life what I prepare for. I may want good health, but if I'm not watching my diet and my exercise, I'm not preparing for better health. I may want a good retirement, even though we don't retire at Church on the Rock. But if I don't have a good financial plan and planner, then I'm not preparing for a good retirement. You don't get what you want. You get what you what, church? Prepare for. So if you and I want those greater things that God has for us, we need to be preparing for it. How do you do that, Pastor? Well, you do it by working on what you're waiting for. Working on an attitude of gratitude. And then it says, for those who trust and take refuge in you before the sons of men. The word trust means believe. It means have faith. So you know what? We need to have faith in God, right? Because God has faith in you. Isn't that an awesome thought? That not only should we develop, and that's what we're doing here today, faith in God, but we need to remind ourselves that God has faith in you. God believes in you when other people don't. God sees the greatness in your life, and God has a great plan for your life that others wouldn't even think about for you. God is a good God, and God, He's for you today. So what should we be working on? We should be working on our faith. We should be working on our attitude of believing. Because what you're believing, we find it out by what our behavior is. So if you're believing that next week's going to be better than this week, you're going to act like it today. If you believe that the rest of this year is going to be the best of your year, then you're going to act like it today. You know, somebody needs to get happy right about now. Amen. Life won't get any better until you get happy. Hallelujah. I know everything that I'm saying is counterculture. I know where you work, it's negative and it stinks. I know your neighborhood probably, you know, sometimes is very, I won't even go where you live. Amen. But aren't you glad that when you come here, you're going to get a good word. It's going to feed your faith and starve your doubt. And you're going to be challenged to believe God for greater things. Come on, somebody, engage with me today. Amen. All right, so we have to work on our belief system, and what I'm believing is affecting my behavior. So I've got to be working on what I'm waiting for. I don't get out of life what I want. I get out of life what I'm preparing for. And church, what are you preparing for? Here on our staff, our team, our ministry, we're preparing to see this place full every service. We're preparing to enlarge our campuses and start satellites and send more missionaries and help more people. We're preparing for your family to come. We're preparing for your friends to come. We're preparing for your neighbors to come. We're preparing for the best children's ministry in St. Louis. We're getting ready to remodel it and go through it this fall. We're preparing because you don't get out of life what you want. You want to get out of life what you prepare for. Church, are you preparing for greater things? I pray that you are. Psalm 27, verse 13, let's look at it. Oh, what would have happened to me? What would have become of me had I not what? Believed. Folks, y'all need to never, ever stop believing. Don't let hurt or offense or disappointment. But Pastor, why does it take so long for our dreams? Well, here's what I found out. The greater the dream, the greater the time. The greater the dream, the greater the preparation. The greater the dream, the greater the thing, the greater the work. Hallelujah. That should encourage somebody today. Boy, now I look at it differently, Pastor. I'm not impatient. Now I'm patient, and I realize that shortcuts will never take me to a breakthrough, but only process. And so you need to work on that believing in our faith that God has greater things. He said, I would have fainted if I had not believed what? To see. Everyone say, to see. So let me give them to you again, and I just want to remind you how to have a great life and how to have greater things come your way. Number one, if you're a note taker, I'd write it down. You got to have a great purpose. You got to have a great purpose. Can you say that with me? Great purpose. Now, folks, if you don't have a purpose, you have no passion. A great purpose gives you great passion. And you know, the greatest motivator is your purpose today. For those who couldn't get out of bed and come to church today, it's because they don't have a great purpose. If you have a great purpose, you'll have great passion. If you have a great purpose, that's your self-motivation. Everybody needs a great purpose for a great life. Number two, you got to build your life on great principles. Amen, church? Great principles. Now, what are the principles that you and I are building our life on? The Word of God. 7,000 promises in that book. 7,000. But you can't claim what you don't know, so let's get familiar with them. Amen? So you got to build your life on great principles. Everybody say principles. Now, listen very carefully. When you build your life on great principles, the Word of God, when you do that, 99% of all your decisions are already made. I'm going to run that by you one more time because I don't think it sunk in. When you build your life on the Bible, the Word of God, when that's your values, when those are the principles that you're living your life by, and when you know them, then by knowing them and acting on them, 99% of all the decisions you ever will make have been made for you. Just like today, on the first day of the week, go to church. I didn't get up and ask Kim, should we go to church? Just like today in the offering time, I gave my tithe. I didn't say, God, am I supposed to tithe today? Just like this morning, I went through the hallways, loved on people. I didn't say, God, should I love one another today? This morning, got up, gave Kim a kiss and a hug, told her she's my best friend, loved her and believed in her. You know, I didn't ask God, should I love my wife? I was getting quiet in this Lutheran church here today. See, you understand where I'm coming from now? When you know the book, the good book, the Bible, the B-I-B-L-E, the gospel, the good news, when you build a great life on great principles, then 99% of all your decisions are already made. Should I go to work? Bible says you don't work, you don't eat. Right? Should I really forgive him? He left me. Bible says if you don't forgive him, God won't forgive you. Amen. So, you know, it's already made. 99% of all of our decisions are already made. Hallelujah. Takes no deliberation to make a decision because 99% of all of our decisions are already made. Should I honor my mother and father? They have really been mean to me this week. They made me do some chores. Made me go to church. Should I honor my mom and dad? I really don't agree with them this week. You know what the Bible says? Honor your father and your mother that you'll have a long life. Don't really have to ask God that question. So if you're going to have a great life, you build it on a great purpose. Fill in the blank, church. If you're going to have a great life, you build it on great principles. And then number three, you build it on great power. Great power. Well, I need the power of the Holy Spirit. You need the power of the Holy Spirit. Because family, every one of you in this room have a calling. Isn't that good to know? You have a calling. But with that calling, you need an anointing to fulfill that calling. With the assignment comes an anointing. With the plan comes his power. With his strategy comes his spirit. You need the anointing to fulfill your calling. We need, it's not by our might or our power, but it's by his spirit, right? Thus saith the Lord. We need a higher power to fulfill our calling. And then number four, we need great people for a great life, right? You will move in the direction of the voices you're listening to today. The voices that are predominant in your life are determining the direction of your life. Aren't you thankful for godly friends? Aren't you thankful for brothers and sisters who believe in you, who love you, who see the greatness in you? You know, yesterday, 5 o'clock, we got done with the service, and I'm up 6:30 in my office, and the pastor, I won't name who he is, but very famous pastor, texted me and just encouraged me and gave me a good word yesterday afternoon at 6:30. And I just told him, I texted him back. I said, I thank God for you. I sure do love you. And you know, we need people like that, don't we? We need those people who believe in us and see in us what others don't see. We need those who bring out the best in us. We need those who see the greatness God put in you and they have the ability to pull it out of you. Can't have a great life without great people. And then the next one, we said, you got to have a great vision, right? You got to have a great vision. I would have fainted except I believe that I would see. You got to have a great vision. A vision is a picture. It's a mental image. It's your imagination. It's a dream. It's a goal from God. You've got to have a great vision. Now, didn't I tell you last week, what's in your face is in your future? What's in your face, not who's in your face this week, but what's in your face is in your future. What you're beholding, you are becoming. What you are beholding, you are becoming. What's in your face is in your future. And we said last week that your vision has to be clear for it to be powerful. Your vision has to have clarity for you to have longevity. I gave you the illustration here in just a few months. We're going to celebrate 34 years for Church on the Rock. Charles Nieman from El Paso is going to be the guest speaker. We're going to celebrate 34 years. And you know what? Kim and I would have never lasted. No way. We would have never lasted without clarity of vision for Church on the Rock. And that clarity of our call together as a couple has kept us together for 44 years. There's no longevity without clarity. Your vision for it to give your faith power has to have clarity. Did you know that? For your faith to be great, it has to be attached to a great vision. I'm going to say that again. That's worth writing down. For your faith to be great, it has to be attached to a great vision. Let me tell you a story. Remember the story in the Bible of Abram and Sarai? You remember God changed their name to Abraham and Sarah? Remember that, church? And remember that God said to Abram, you're going to be he couldn't even have one kid, you know, with Sarah. And God said, but you're going to be a father of a multitude. Wow. You know, faith doesn't make things easier, but faith makes things possible. Faith doesn't make it easier, but faith in God makes it possible. And God came to Abraham in Genesis 13 through Genesis 15. And Abraham was struggling. He was struggling with his faith. And God does this. Watch this. God pulls him out of the tent and God says, look up. God said, look up and count the stars. As you count the number of the stars, so will be your descendants. Then he said to Abraham, look at the sand on the seashore. It's hard to say at 9:30 in the morning. Seashore and see the sand, so will your descendants be. What was he doing? Giving him a picture. Your faith has to have a picture for it to go to work. Without a picture, without a vision, your faith idles. Your faith is not active, nor is it at work. Abraham was struggling with his faith. In Genesis 15, God gives him a clear vision. God gives him a picture. And when God gives him clarity to the vision, Genesis chapter 15, verse 1 says, Abraham then believed God. For you and I to have great faith, you've got to have a great vision. But that vision has to be clear, because without clarity, there's no longevity. Can somebody give the Lord a good praise today? Come on, engage with me today. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. And last weekend, we had a prayer line. We anointed you with oil, laid hands on you for clarity of what God has called you to do, didn't we? So it should be getting clearer, church, because the path of the righteous gets brighter and brighter. Proverbs 4:18. Look at Proverbs 29, verse 18. Proverbs 29, verse 18. Here's what the Bible says. Where there's no vision, where there's no revelation, boy, there's an anointing of God here today. Where there's no vision of God and what God's doing in your life, the people cast off restraint. You have no boundaries. You have no course. You have no direction. You run helter-skelter. But happy is he that keeps and obeys the word of God. Look what it says in the Message translation. The Message translation, it says, if people can't see what God is doing, wow, we need clarity of a great vision to have a great life, right? We need to have a great vision of the greater things that God wants to do in you, through you, and for you. But he says, if people can't see what God is doing, you know, back in Bible school, when we were going to Bible college, that was one of the things that Bible students, we'd all walk around, you know, and say, hey, what's God telling you? Hey, what's God saying to you? You know, what we were saying was, what are you seeing God doing in your life? Church, I want to ask you, what do you see God doing? Pastor, I don't see God doing anything. Then you're in the right place at the right time, because you've got to see what God is doing, or you won't have any motivation for better. And you got to get better to have a bigger, abundant life. So look what he says. If people can't see what God's doing, they stumble all over themselves. But when they attend, when they give their attention, when they give their focus, didn't I tell you what's in your face is in your future? He says, when you give attention and you focus on what God has revealed, then you are not just blessed, my brother and sister, you are most blessed. I like that better than blessed, don't you? But when are you most blessed? Not when you're scattered. Not when you're stumbling. Not when it's foggy. Not when it's not clear. It's when you have a great vision. You see what God's doing with clarity. It gives you longevity. And that picture that's clear ignites your faith to do exploits. And then the Bible says, when you give your attention to that, when you focus on that, when you keep beholding that, when you keep it before you, you'll be most blessed. Isn't that good? Now, Pastor, you prayed for us last week. You laid hands on us at the altar, and you prayed for an anointing to make the vision clearer. Pastor, for those of us that don't know what we're to do with our life, for those of us that are stumbling and we're just bumping around from what people tell us and the culture and the moods and the fads and the trends, Pastor, for those of us that really want to have that great vision and we really want it to be clear, you prayed for us that it would become clear. And then you told us that this week you'd show us how to make it clearer. You know what? I'm going to keep my word. Amen? So let's go to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. How do you make the vision clear? How does it get clearer? How do you get clarity for the rest of your life? How does that happen? Because when you have clarity, you have longevity. When you have clarity, you have power. When you have clarity, when God gives you a picture, it's to cause your faith to ignite. Without a picture, your faith is inoperative. It's inactive. It's idling. So to have a great life for the greater things, you need a great vision of what God has ahead for you. Can I have a yes in the house today? All right, so how does it get clear, Pastor? I'm praying for it to get clear. How does it get clear? Okay, you ready? You sure you're ready? Can I wait till next week? Okay, all right, here we go. So don't lose a minute. Don't lose a minute in building on what you've been giving. What you've been given. Complimenting, watch the words now, family, in the Message translation. Complimenting your basic faith with what? Good character. When you ask God for a clearer vision, a clearer picture of what God put you on this earth to do, the next thing that you need to do is give God permission to work on your character. That's the answer. When you and I allow God to work on us what we are waiting for, we begin to not lose a minute of our life. Not lose a day, not lose a week. We're not going to waste it, but we're going to live it when we say, God, I give you permission to work on my character. When you allow God to work on your character, then the vision will become clearer. Because God's not going to take you to a place you are unprepared for. God's not going to reveal something to you that you will not prize, protect, nurture, and utilize. So instead of, God, what should I do and where should I go? And, oh, God, I'm wasting my life. I don't know what it is. God, I want to know what I'm to do. I want to know what I'm to do the rest of my life. I want to know a vision. I want to know my purpose. Should I buy this? Should I marry them? Should I stop that? Get this job? Go back to school? Move over there? God, what is it you want me to do? You know, in doing that, you're just going to struggle. But here's what you do. God, I give you permission to work on my character, because as you work on my character, it will clarify what it is you want me to do with my life. Boy, that's huge. All right? Let's find out. Your basic faith with good character, spiritual understanding, look at the list, verse 6. Discipline, patience, reverent wonder, verse 7. Warm friendliness, a generous love. So see, these are the things we should be working on while we're waiting for the greater things God has for us. These are the items we should be working. It's called character. It's called the fruit of the Spirit. We should be working on keeping our word, being faithful, being loyal. What you do occasionally has no lasting impact. What you do occasionally has no lasting impact. It's only what you do continually that will bring a lasting impact. So notice he says that developing that love and fitting in, working with other people, verse 8. With these qualities, with what? With these qualities, character qualities. So the vision becomes clearer. Clarity comes when I allow God to work on my character. Clarity comes when I say, God, I give you permission. In fact, isn't he the potter? Aren't we the clay? And he just wants to put us on the wheel of process of growing us. But so many people get impatient on the wheel. And when the clay gets hard, the potter took the clay and threw it down, didn't he? The clay can't get hard. The clay has to stay soft. That's you and I, pliable, sweet spirits, soft spirits. We have to stay allowing God to adjust us, correct us, shape us, mold us. I got to hustle. With these qualities active and growing in your lives, no grass will grow under your feet. Isn't that good? No wasted time. You won't miss opportunities because you're preparing for them. Oh, hallelujah. No grass under your feet. No day will pass without its reward. No day will pass without its reward. Oh, my goodness. As you mature, as I what? What's he looking for? Maturity. What's he looking for? Character development. Now, can I read it to you from another translation real quick as the team comes out? Let me have the other translation, guys. Do your best to improve your what? Do your best to improve your what? Faith. Do your best to improve your faith by adding these characteristics. So clarity comes in our life when we commit our character to God. and we give God permission. God, come into my life. You can have my life. Change me, mold me, shape me, work on my character. Then you know what happens? Wow, no grass grows under your feet. You don't waste a minute of your life. You're on track. You're on the potter's wheel. Hallelujah. So he says, do your best to improve your faith. Next verse, verse 6. Self-control. Wow. Patience. Devotion to God. These are what we're working on while we're waiting for. Concern for other people. Love. Look at verse 8. Look at verse 8. If you keep what? If you keep what? That's what you're doing here today, church. If you keep growing. See, if you get better, your life will get bigger. If you get better, your life will get bigger. If you give God your character, then clarity will come for the vision that God has for you to do with your life. So he says, if you keep growing in this way, it will show that what you know about our Lord Jesus Christ has made your life useful and meaningful. Isn't that powerful? How it will show, it will reveal. What's revealed? What comes to us? What we're to do with our life and how to make our life have meaning and make a difference? When does that happen? When we give God permission to work on our character. So could we say this? A great character produces, you don't have to say it, I'm sorry. Great character produces greater things in your life. Do you know that your future is being built with a foundation? Is that right? And the foundation your future is being built on are your values. So we got to have great values for greater things.